Singing praise to Jehovah. Singing songs of praise to Jehovah is an integral part of our worship. At the 2009 conventions, therefore, God's servants were overjoyed when they were told of a new songbook, Sing to Jehovah. But why was a new songbook needed? From time to time, we have revised our songbooks to keep them in line with increased spiritual light. Preparation of a new songbook thus provides an opportunity for needed adjustments to be made to the lyrics of our songs. Wording has been selected that makes it easier to absorb the meaning of the song while it is being sung, and to make the words easier to remember. To help further with memorization, many of the songs have been shortened. Where appropriate, choruses have been added to provide meaningful repetition of key thoughts. In addition, an effort was made to assign each syllable of each word to a single note, rather than to place more than one syllable on a note. A careful analysis of our previous songbook, Sing Praises to Jehovah, revealed that some of the melodies needed adjustments to make them easier to sing. As a result, some of the songs have now been lowered in pitch so that the higher notes are easier to sing. Also, not all songs were being sung exactly as they were written in the book. So in some cases, the melody itself has been adjusted to match the more natural manner in which the songs were actually being sung by our brothers internationally. Details, such as how the music is printed on the page, were given careful consideration. While longer songs have been spread across two pages to accommodate the longer text of translated languages, songs have been placed so that there is no need to turn a page during any song. No songs are longer than three verses. How was the mammoth task of preparing the new songbook accomplished? In August 2007, a team of experienced composers and lyricists were invited to assist the governing body with the project. All of the songs in the previous songbook were examined meticulously to identify problems with doctrinal content, word emphasis, and melodic issues. It was apparent that some of the older melodies were fine, but that they required new lyrics. Other songs that required little adjustment to lyrics needed substantial changes to their melodies. Then, the teaching committee of the governing body approved a list of topics to be considered in songs for Christian meetings, assemblies, conventions, and dedication programs. In addition, the composers took time to re-examine the style of music used by our brothers at our meetings. To produce reverent yet appealing songs, they avoided music that sounded like the hymns used in Christendom's churches. At the same time, they did not want songs of praise to Jehovah to lean toward styles that have become popular in many charismatic churches. Throughout the project, the governing body carefully monitored the composition and words of each song. Groups of new songs that the governing body was not familiar with were recorded by singers for the governing body to listen to and review. As soon as those songs were approved, they were sent to translating branches for translation of the lyrics so that vernacular songbooks could be released at the same time as the English songbook. Additionally, in 2007, the governing body arranged for a chorus of singers to produce recordings that would help the congregations to learn the songs. For many years, a volunteer orchestra from 14 branches has assembled about twice a year at Paterson, New York, to record music for educational programs produced by Jehovah's Witnesses, including dramas, video productions, and musical accompaniment for conventions and assemblies. These dedicated brothers and sisters, many of them full-time ministers, use their time and resources to travel and record music for the benefit of the International Brotherhood. All are skilled musicians. The orchestral recordings are then shared with branches around the world to provide background music for their conventions and for the production of vocal renditions in dozens of local languages. Many of the vocal recordings made at the branches are now available for download from our website, www.jw.org. What has been the reaction to the new songbook, Sing to Jehovah? This letter from a sister is typical of hundreds of letters of appreciation that have been received. Please allow me to begin this letter by thanking you for the beautiful new songs in our new songbook. They are moving, faith-strengthening, and comforting, a delightful gift from Jehovah. It is our desire that the songbooks Sing to Jehovah will be a source of comfort and encouragement to our worldwide brotherhood. Whether we are alone or gathered together with our fellow worshipers, may we use it to express our love for our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Hailed before governors and kings for a witness. Jesus told his disciples that they would be brought before local courts and governors and kings. Nevertheless, he said that this would be for a witness to them and the nations. Matthew 10:17-18. During the past year, Jehovah's Witnesses have experienced precisely what Jesus foretold. And, as their master said, their mistreatment has provided fine opportunities for them to give a witness. Armenia. Vahan Bayatyan, one of Jehovah's Witnesses, was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison because of his conscientious objection to military service. After losing his case and appeals before the Armenia courts, he filed an application with the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR, in 2003. Finally, on October 27, 2009, the ECHR issued its judgment in favor of Armenia in keeping with over 50 years of legal precedent. However, a dissenting judge found this ruling incompatible with current European standards on the question of conscientious objection. In view of the importance of this issue, the European Court agreed to refer this matter to its Grand Chamber. The hearing was scheduled to take place in Strasbourg, France, on November 24, 2010. The Grand Chamber's decision was not known at the time that this report went to press. Azerbaijan. Jehovah's Witnesses continue to have difficulty importing religious literature. The authorities approve importation of some religious literature, but deny the importation of other publications, because they claim that the contents promote the exclusiveness of the faith of Jehovah's Witnesses and insult the feelings of other Christian religions. As a result, the homes of some brothers and sisters have been raided, and their personal Bible literature has been seized. On April 25, 2010, in the city of Quezah, about 250 of Jehovah's Witnesses in 5 large buses and 1 minivan were returning from an assembly in Georgia. Police at the border control confiscated their personal Bible literature, including 33 Bibles. Many of the witnesses, even the elderly and the infirm, were kept waiting at the border for up to 8 hours before they were allowed to continue their journey. To prevent incidents such as this, and to ensure that brothers in Azerbaijan continue to receive their spiritual food, this issue has now been presented to the European Court of Human Rights. Belarus. On November 6, 2009, Dmitry Smek, who is one of Jehovah's Witnesses, was fined 3,500,000 rubles, or $1,154 U.S., for refusing to do military duty. "I try to be faithful to the Bible in every aspect of my life," Brother Smek stated, "and I follow the teachings it contains. For me, this includes believing that a person should not be trained for or participate in warfare." Although the Constitution of Belarus guarantees the right to choose alternative civilian service, there is no provision in the law for actually doing so. "On paper, it appears that I have the right to alternative civilian service," explained Brother Smek. "But in reality, I cannot exercise that right." To correct this legislative flaw, on February 18, 2010, the President of Belarus formed a commission to draft a law on alternative service. Shortly thereafter, the court found Brother Smek innocent and canceled the heavy fine against him. Because other young witnesses in Belarus are confronted with the same issue and do not wish to learn war, it is hoped that the government will soon make provision for alternative civilian service. Belgium. Until 1993, the Bethel property in Brussels, Belgium was tax-exempt, as were all religious buildings in Belgium. However, in 1993, the tax administration changed its position and refused full exemption. It claimed that Bethel is not exclusively used for religious purposes, that financial gain is one of its aims, and that Bethelites are not active full-time with their religious activities. The case was finally heard in 2008 in a lower trial court, but the judge decided in favor of the tax administration. The decision was appealed, and on May 4, 2010, the appeals court reversed the lower trial court's decision. In their written verdict, the three judges stated, "Life at Bethel, for the witnesses who live there, is associated with a deep religious conviction, requiring a total surrendering to God's service. All these ministers are members of the Worldwide Order of Special Full-Time Servants, and they live, pray, sing, and study the Bible together. They also assist at the local organized morning worship." Eritrea. Jehovah's Witnesses in Eritrea continue to endure many hardships in their efforts to serve God faithfully. Currently, there are 58 witnesses in prison, including women and young children. Because of oppressive governmental restrictions and the constant threat of arrest, it is difficult to obtain information about those imprisoned. For years, Jehovah's Witnesses have attempted to relieve the suffering of their Eritrean fellow worshipers through diplomatic channels. Witnesses have appealed to officials at the U.S. Department of State, the European Union, and various embassies. They have also met with numerous officials in the Horn of Africa, such as representatives of the African Union. Recently, Jehovah's Witnesses have submitted a letter and a list of prisoners who were not of military age to 18 Eritrean embassies worldwide. The letter appealed to President Afwerki to release all prisoners who are not of military age, including children and the elderly. To date, though, the government has not responded. Greece. On January 15, 2010, Greece's highest court, the Council of State, found that Evangelis Delis, one of Jehovah's Witnesses, had the right to object to serving as a reservist in the military. Brother Delis served in the army prior to becoming one of Jehovah's Witnesses, but when he was called up for reserve training, he was moved by his Bible-trained conscience to refuse to accept the training. Although the administration denied his request to be viewed as a conscientious objector, the Council of State, citing articles of the European Convention of Human Rights, stated that an individual has the right to change his religion even after having served in the military and to claim conscientious objector status because of his newfound religious beliefs. This positive decision from Greece's highest court will no doubt benefit conscientious objectors in Greece and in other countries such as Armenia, Azerbaijan, South Korea, and Turkey. Portugal. On September 25, 2009, the Ministry of Justice stated that the Association of Jehovah's Witnesses was unanimously approved as a long-standing religious community. Jehovah's Witnesses in Portugal now have the highest judicial and religious classification possible, which will help them to carry out their ministry. Their new legal status will bring numerous benefits to Jehovah's people. These include having authorized ministers to perform legally recognized marriage ceremonies at kingdom halls, as well as authorization to enter hospitals and prisons to give spiritual assistance to those who request it. Puerto Rico. In a landmark decision, on January 27, 2010, the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico upheld an adult patient's right to refuse certain medical treatment. The court also recognized a patient's right to use an advance directive and appoint a healthcare agent to represent his interests when unconscious. Victor Hernandez, one of Jehovah's Witnesses, prepared an advance directive before going into the hospital. A trial court had earlier refused to enforce Brother Hernandez's medical decision as expressed in his directive and supported by his healthcare agent. In overturning the trial court's ruling, the Supreme Court recognized the fundamental right that makes the inviolability of the human body an inalienable right of the people. This victory benefits not only the more than 25,000 of Jehovah's Witnesses in Puerto Rico, but also all other patients throughout the island. Russia. In recent months, the spirit-directed activity of Jehovah's people has faced its most serious threats since the collapse of the Soviet Union. On December 8, 2009, The Russian Supreme Court upheld a decision of a lower court in Rostov that resulted in the liquidation of the local religious organization in Taganrog, confiscation of its kingdom hall, and a declaration that 34 of our publications were considered to be extremist, including such widely read books as What Does the Bible Really Teach?, My Book of Bible Stories, and Come Be My Follower. A few weeks later, the Supreme Court of the Altai Republic in southern Russia made a similar decision regarding the local religious organization in the city of Gorny Altaysk, which resulted in a further 18 publications being listed as extremist. These court decisions have made it impossible for the time being to import any of the listed publications into Russia. In addition, the court decisions have emboldened Christ's enemies to threaten and attack his peaceful followers in various cities. Since the December 8th decision, there have been over 300 recorded incidents of raids, arrests, house searches, and other disruptions of worship. In response to this growing threat, the governing body approved the distribution of 12 million copies of a special tract entitled, Could It Happen Again? A Question for the Citizens of Russia. The tract drew clear parallels between the harassment Jehovah's Witnesses experienced under communism and the problems they are facing today. Jehovah's Witnesses distributed this special tract throughout Russia between February 26 and 28, 2010. Despite the frigid temperatures, as low as minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 40 degrees Celsius, many congregations distributed all their tracts in just 2 days. In a counterattack, on April 26, 2010, the Federal Service for the Oversight of Communications, Information Technology, and Mass Communications, or Roskomnadzor, revoked our license to import any subsequent issues of the Watchtower and Awake magazines. However, the hand of Jehovah has not become too short that it cannot save. Isaiah 59:1. On June 10, 2010, the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR, handed down a landmark decision against Russia and in favor of kingdom interests. The ruling in this case, entitled Jehovah's Witnesses of Moscow versus Russia, declared that the liquidation and the banning of the activities of the Moscow community of Jehovah's Witnesses was unlawful and in violation of the fundamental human rights of freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. The liquidation and the ban have been in force in Moscow since March 26, 2004, resulting in increased harassment and ill treatment. This judgment explicitly states that the Russian government has a legal obligation to put an end to the violation found by the court and to redress so far as possible the effects. This sweeping decision refers favorably to 9 high court victories that Jehovah's Witnesses have won in Canada, Japan, Russia, South Africa, Spain, the United Kingdom, and the United States, as well as to 8 earlier decisions handed down by the ECHR itself in favor of Jehovah's Witnesses. In so doing, the court has confirmed that the ECHR continues to believe that the earlier cases were decided correctly. Drawing upon the European Convention of Human Rights and earlier decisions, the court held that Jehovah's Witnesses were not guilty of any of the charges brought against them by the Russian authorities. The applicant community of Jehovah's Witnesses, noted the court, had existed and legally operated in Moscow for more than 12 years, from 1992 to 2004. During the entire period of its lawful existence, the applicant community, its elders and individual members, had never been found responsible for any criminal or administrative offense or a civil wrong. Accordingly, the court ruled that the rights of Jehovah's Witnesses had been violated, and that, as it further noted, the respondent state has a legal obligation to select measures to be adopted in their domestic legal order to put an end to the violation found by the court. On September 9, 2010, the Russian government requested referral of the controversy to the court's grand chamber, no doubt as a tactic to delay its responsibility to comply with the decision. Whether Jehovah's will permits the review by the grand chamber or not, we can be sure that a great witness will continue to be given.